hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a terrific day today. As you know, it's Talk to Ted and Austin Tuesday, so we will be taking live calls in about 15 to 20 minutes, and we have a guest, Doug Hagman, the one and only, will be on our show, and he'll be answering questions with us as well today. So it's going to be a blast of a show. If you don't have the call-in number, I will give it to you right now. Get a pen and pencil handy. It is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. And on that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. Oh, by the way, when Doug's here, let's try not to ask him any questions on health. Let's just ask him, you know, general questions of what's going on with the economy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's not really the health guy we are, so we don't want to try to stick him with a question he can't answer. So that's something I'll ask you to do. Austin, I want to talk to the listeners for a second. Tomorrow, I'm going to do an extensive show on how they're going to turn us into biorobots and how they're going to do it using the 5G, how they're going to do it using Morgellons, how they're going to do it with synthetic RNA. But I just want to let everybody have a little bit of that information right now. RNA is called ribonucleic acid. And it's I'm going to read it right off of Wikipedia. It says it's a polymeric molecule essential in various biological roles, encoding, decoding, regulation, and expressions of genes. Now, basically what this means is it gets into the cell. The cell has RNA in it. It does not replicate. It's kind of like a messenger signaler, and a nucleic acid is a type of protein. And what it does, it tells the cell to turn on certain functions. Like it'll tell you to release adrenaline. It'll tell you to go to sleep. It'll tell you to get, you know, release a, you know, fear molecule. It tells you to do all of this stuff. And now they've come out with engineered molecules of synthetic RNA. This is an HHS public access PMC act right out of Wikipedia. It's ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. And it's called Engineering Biological Systems with Synthetic RNA Molecules. RNA molecules play diverse functional roles in natural biological systems. There has been a growing interest in designing synthetic RNA counterparts for programming biological function. I want you to understand what they just said. For going in and putting it into your body and for programming your biology to do a certain thing. The design of synthetic RNA molecules that exhibit diverse activities include sensing, regulatory, information processing, scaffolding activities, has highlighted the advantages of RNA as a programmable design substrate. Recent advances in implementing these engineered RNA molecules as key control elements in synthetic genetic networks are highlighting the functional relevance of the... Okay, I'm going to stop. It's getting ridiculous. What they're doing is this. Let's say you've got a whole... RNA regulates gene expression. Let's say, for instance, you got 1,000 light switches on the wall. The RNA tells you what to turn on in the cell. That's how it works. It's that simple. That's why I love teaching college. I made things real easy for the kids. And what RNA does, it flips the switches. What they've done now, Austin, they've developed synthetic RNA that they can spray on us via chemtrails. You got to love that stuff. Or they can put it in our food or in our drink. And what it actually does, it goes into our cellular system and invades our cells kind of like a virus. And it basically incorporates itself into the cellular structure, waiting for the proper radio frequency to flip the switches on the RNA to make the cells do different things. Now, you just heard that right. Now, tomorrow we're going to go into detail about this. RNA can manipulate for one generation because it doesn't replicate. It produces light, optogenics, biophotons, creates a morphogenic field around the body. It uses DNA, kind of like a printing machine. It produces proteins, produces matter. And basically what it allows them to do is it hits you with a specific frequency or an energy field, which will then turn off or on your cellular functions. In other words, they built Tesla's death ray. And, and that's how they had to connect it to us. And they're doing it with Morgellons. They're doing it with all of these different substrates. They're actually taking the synthetic RNA and infusing it in it. It was beta tested in 2003 in the Gulf War. And I'll go into detail with that tomorrow, too. I don't normally cover these types of content topics in a one-hour show because they take a little bit too long, especially today since we've got Doug Hagman coming on. But I just want to let you guys know real quickly what we're covering tomorrow. So if you like those shows that go way out there, you're going to love tomorrow's show. By the way, General Motors and General Electric were both victimized by the same Ponzi scheme. They're both telling us the USA economy is in a huge trouble. This is again by Michael Schneider. Boy, writes a lot. And he's basically saying that what they did is, I'm going to paraphrase this article, the boys that basically bought all the GM stock and pushed up the stock purchases and bought up the General Electric stock. Then basically took control of the corporations and had them do massive tens of billions of dollars in stock buyback to get their money back out of profit. And now that they've basically stripped the company, you know, basically pump and dump, they've basically taken these companies and they've stripped them down so they no longer have the proper operating capital in order to maintain functioning facilities. In other words, that's why General Motors is closing down so many plants, and that's why General Electric is almost out of business, and that's why GE stock is like at a four-year low. It's all because of what's happened with the pump and dump. This is what these guys do all the time. These are the international bankers. These are the cartels. This is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the main banking cartels that buy and purchase the Fortune 500 corporations. And apparently they're pumping and dumping GM again. They probably figure we, the American population, since we bailed them out for billions and billions of dollars before so they could pump and dump and make tens of billions, that they're going to go ahead and expect us to buy out and bail out General Motors again. And I really hope that Donald Trump doesn't do that. It was a giant mess with Bush and Obama when they did that with GM. And again, it shows you that these guys care about only one thing, Austin, and that's screwing as many people as they possibly can and taking everybody's stuff. And it's sad. The thing that makes me angry, and I've talked about this before, I'm not going to get on tear about it, is that these guys already control the world's currencies. They already own pretty much everything. They're quadrillionaires, and that's not an exaggeration. They're worth thousands of trillions. And I don't know why in the world they need more money, and they need to take it from all the people that have invested in GM. It's just, I guess they do it often because they can, because of pure greed and avarice. Bud, what do you think?
I think you're exactly right about it. The thing that irritates me the most is that, you know, we saw what happened in 2008 with the, you know, almost what, $700-800 billion bailout total. It was not just GM, but all the banks. And really, as we have seen now over the years, that was nothing more than basically another way to launder and steal more money from the general population via taxpayer funds. Because as we see right now, all this money that GM got for the bailout, they basically bought back all these stocks later on now, have siphoned all that cash back out of GM now. And now, 10 years later, GM's in another pickle again. So now they're going to say, we need another bailout, we need more money again, so they can do the exact same thing, buy back more stock, siphon more money, turn into more eccentric billionaire and trillionaires that have all this cash. And the thing that I think that irritates me, and I was talking to Dad about this the other day with a lot of these bankers, is that the most frustrating aspect of it is they don't produce anything. Understand that concept. They don't build anything. They don't manufacture anything. Produce anything. They don't make anything. Yes, some of their money that is lended out can build buildings, can use investment capital to manufacture things. But what they actually do is take money that doesn't exist. Remember that, guys. A lot of people don't understand the concept of what these banks can do with a 40-to-1 ratio as far as what they can loan out on it. So if you saved up your money your whole life and you go and put $1 million in the bank, just for example, $1 million. You got $1 million you deposit in your banks in your savings account, and they're paying you, you know, say you get a really, really good money market account that's paying you 2% right now. Woo-wee, okay, I'm getting 2% a year on this $1 million. They take that $1 million and they can loan $40 million in loans off of it. Meaning they can give it out to investors, they can give it out to all types of people. And remember, yeah, then that $40 million, you better believe, even if it's on, you know, mortgages are the best, they're making at least 4 to 5 to 6% on that $4 million. While at the same time, they expect you to be all happy and giddy about your little 2% that you're making on your $1 million, while they are raking up money left and right, hand and fist, and stacking it in their wallets and spending on anything they want. And that's the aspect of it. They don't produce anything. They don't make anything. They don't build anything. They don't contribute anything. It's called usury. And this is the only time in the Bible you watch God Almighty's Son, Jesus Christ, completely and totally get irate and start whipping people and flipping over tables and slinging money everywhere. And a lot of people, I think, kind of scrub over that whole story and be like, oh yeah, Jesus got mad, he kicked the moneylenders out, and that was it. No. When you read the actual aspect of it, he became irate, but he did not sin. So it showed you that it was justified anger because he was so mad at what these bankers were doing with their usury and their unjust scales and literally ripping off the population, because at that time, unjust scales, what they always refer to it as, were scales that did not balance out correctly. you have an ounce of gold, you put it on the scale to another ounce, they were unjust scales, meaning you came in and said, hey, I got a 1 ounce coin, you know, I need to trade this in or I need to sell it. And they come in and say, oh, we're sorry, bud, this isn't an ounce coin. You got ripped off on this. This is only 3/4 of an ounce. And you go, no, it's stamped. It's an ounce. No, nope, sorry, bud, it's only 3/4 of an ounce. Knowing good and well that was a legitimate 1 ounce stamp coin, they would say, we can't give you, you know, whatever it was at the time, $10 an ounce. We can't give you $10 for it because it's not an ounce. We'll only give you $7.50 for it. Knowing good and well it was a full 1 ounce coin. This is what they do every day, all around the globe. And the reason why we're in a multi-trillion, if not quadrillion dollar bank issue globally with all the credit swaps and derivatives that these guys have done now, hence why Jesus Christ got absolutely irate and kicked these goons out of the temple, Dan.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, this is CNN now. CNN, the constant negative news, constant horrible news, the constant communist news, whatever, is coming out saying 160 confirmed cases of polio-like disease in the United States. They're calling it acute flaccid mellitus. And basically, what is this polio? And they don't want to call it polio because everybody's supposed to be immunized. And then there are now 286 cases of possible confirmed acute flaccid mellitus in the United States, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. By the way, this is all from these vaccines they're giving us. I thought I'd mention that. This is bad. More than 90% of the 440 patients with this since 2014 have been children younger than 4. Guess why? Immunizations. Most of the children with confirmed cases experienced a viral illness, probably from doggone vaccines, along with symptoms including being a fever and cough for about 3 to 10 days before the onset of the paralysis, which is exactly what happened with the polio, oral polio vaccine that they were giving us back in the 50s and the 60s. You know, you would think these guys would actually care about people, about children, but they really don't. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess you really can't try to correct these guys because they don't want to play any games. They want to play all these games with you, lie about everything, and give you all this fake research. The other day I had a professor at a major university, a chair, big guy, big huge guy, major university. And I contacted him, and I sent him some information with Greg Hunter and Catherine Fitz. And the information they were talking about, the $21 trillion or the $42 trillion now that are missing from the confirmed budget missing. And I sent it to him. I said, I want you to let me know what you think about this. And he goes, sends it back. He says, there's so much stuff here that's fake, all fake news, bad information. But he didn't list one thing. Did not list one thing that was fake. It's all fake news. And, you know, and see, this is the problem that we run into, Austin, when people don't want us to stop and take a look at the research. I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it again. If I can send you 500 articles to tell you that immunizations have been linked to autism and learning disorders and all these other conditions, I've got 500 articles to say that by double-blind clinical research studies, many of them, with hundreds if not thousands of authors. So what you're telling me is, because of normalcy bias, you don't believe these guys are doing this, and it's all fake news, and all these professors and all these PhDs and all these scientists are liars. See, this is the problem that you run into, Austin, with the mainstream media, because it's so powerful because of what it does. It allows people to continue the normalcy bias without thinking through what's going on. Yep. Do I hear Doug Hagman on the do I hear you, Doug?
You do. I'm here.
I want to introduce my dear friend Doug Hagman. I think you guys all know him, Hagman and Hagman Report. He's a wonderful friend, known him for many, many years. He's been on our show many times, and I want to bring him on this week just to get an idea of what he thinks is going on. Plus, we'll be going to some questions here, Doug, if you don't mind. People have some questions they want to ask you. And so we're going to take a few calls today, if you'll stay with us for a little bit. And
sure.
I just want to go, what's going on? Is Q for real, Doug? I mean, is this stuff with Q going to happen? I mean, are all these arrests going to happen? What's going on with the president? What's going on with the Congress? What's going on with the Mueller probe? What's your take on all of this stuff, Doug?
Wow. Hey, can I have an easier question? Can I select door number two or what?
Well, pick which one of those you want to start with.
I'll tell you what. Look, this Q thing, I don't know. I mean, there are so many people who follow this Q postings. I monitor what's going on there. I don't follow it. I monitor it. And, it just seems to me, just from a logical perspective, it seems like a hard way of doing things. If in fact this is a way to get a certain message out, in the spycraft world, I guess, you know, which I'm just slightly familiar. You know, to me, I mean, this wouldn't be necessarily the best way to do it. Okay, now having said that, Can I discount it? No, of course not. I can't discount it. I do know that there are a lot of people caught up in this. And is that a bad thing? I don't think that's really necessarily bad. It depends on your level of commitment to the information. Now, all that said, what's he saying? Or what is Q or them or it, the entity, the group, the person, the whatever? What are they saying? Well, you know, things are going to get bad. I mean, a lot of it is just mundane. A lot of it is open source, accessible information. But a lot of people seem to be hanging their hat on, you know, 60,000 sealed indictments and, the perp walks coming and, you know, this day of judgment coming for the deep state globalists. And I think that, what happens? I guess my question is, what happens if that doesn't happen? Now, are all these followers, these people who believe in this, this phenomenon, are they gonna say, well, I mean, what's their reaction gonna be? And what's the damage gonna be done to the people themselves that follow this? And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Now, again, I don't know. I don't have any sources that say, oh yeah, he's for real, or they're for real, or it's for real. I don't know. I don't have those sources.
Well, let me ask you another question. You know, Roger Stone's been under a big, pretty good assault, and he's making news. I mean, he's actually making big news now, yep. And he's saying basically he's innocent and he wouldn't make a deal if Mueller actually offered one. In addition to that, of course, he's now saying that he has a defense agreement with President Trump, and now they're saying that Trump may not even run for office again. And what in the heck's going on with these guys? What's all this about, Doug?
Okay, well, the latter part about not running for office, look, I don't know about that. But I do know, starting with Dr. Jerome Corsi, I do know that the guy's 72 years old. He was served with a subpoena 3 days before his 72nd birthday. I had breakfast with him at the National Press Club back in April, and we spoke at length. I consider him a friend, okay, a professional colleague, but a friend. And I've had him on my show, and we've talked. The whole aspect of the Mueller prosecution surrounding Jerome Corsi, first of all, has nothing to do with any Russian, necessarily Russian influence or whatever. It all revolves around WikiLeaks and the knowledge of the Podesta emails to WikiLeaks in advance of their publication. That's what this has got to do. I mean, that's what the big deal is about. And I can say this, and I don't think I'm out of school. I think it's okay to say. It's Jerome Corsi's position, PhD, Dr. Corsi, he determined the origin or the genesis of the WikiLeaks emails from his own internal research. No one told him. He had no sources, and he didn't interact with Roger Stone about this particular issue necessarily, to the extent that he's asked. So he is being harassed, and I believe it's all political payback for his work killing the deep state, for one, the book about Barack Hussein Obama and his work about the eligibility issue, and many people conflate that with a birth certificate issue or where he was born. So I think this is a dish of political payback against Dr. Jerome Corsi. So that's that. And by the way, the latest, of course, is Mueller pushed in front of him a document and said, sign this. And what the document said was, I lied. You know, Jerome Corsi lied. And Mueller pushed this in front of him, said, sign it, or I'm going to make your life a living hell. And I'm going to throw everything against you, you know, the entire weight of the government against you. And to his credit, Dr. Corsi, at 72, and not necessarily as robust health or vigor as, as someone twice as young, much to his credit, said, no, I'm not going to sign it. I didn't lie. I didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to anyone, and I'm not signing it. And he's fighting back. And this also, I think, to an extent, affected Roger Stone. I've spoken to Roger Stone. I've co-hosted with him a couple of times. With respect to Roger Stone, things are a little bit more complicated, and it would take a longer period to discuss that. But,
Go ahead. I mean, is Roger Stone for real? Because Alex Jones used to have him on all the time, and you know, Alex has kind of backed off of him now and not having him on. So I don't know what's going on with any of these guys as far as what their legitimacy is at this point. Also, another question, you know, with Julian Assange. I mean, they've got like a warrant out for his arrest now.
Yeah.
I mean, is this guy, how do you feel about that? Is he a hero or is he a villain or is he, what is he? I mean, should he be prosecuted for releasing this information or what do you think about him too? And tell me about Stone and should Corsi, just give me your opinions on all this stuff.
Well, I mean, Julian Assange, in my view, with respect to whatever other warrants are, might be out for his arrest for whatever things that he might have done, which I don't believe he did anything. You know, I think there were some allegations of rape or whatever. Look, pushing that aside, for the Assange, the WikiLeaks itself, go back to historical precedent. I mean, Pentagon papers. You know, for one, there's a lot of precedent where, look, you know, state held information or information that does not necessarily, compromise national security. Do people have the right to know? And I think the answer is yes. And I think that the public was best served by what Assange had provided, Vault 7, and other such, postings. Yeah. Look, so I think Assange, is he a hero? I don't know if I would describe him as a hero, but I certainly would not describe him as a criminal. So there's that. And again, the overlap here between, Corsi, Stone, and, Assange, and, even Seth Rich. If you want to pull
him. Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot there about Seth Rich, and I think Seth Rich was the, I think Assange made it clear Seth Rich was the individual who provided Assange with the, in WikiLeaks with the DNC emails. Now, you know, so if you're a journalist and you receive information, again, go back to the Pentagon Papers, study that case. If you're a journalist and you receive information that's not going to be illegal to publish, or how do I put this? It's not going to tank the, you know, or do damage to our nation. Is it something that people that have a right to know? And I do believe in transparency. I do believe in that. So. Assange, you know, I heard about the, bringing him back here, and I think that there might be some good in that. I think there might be a method here where Julian Assange, if put under oath, could clear some things up. And if that's the case, I'm kind of for that, but not for the reasons the media is out there pushing, you know, that particular narrative. So, and Stone, look, to answer your question about Roger Stone, look, I don't know the man beyond a professional, you know, the professional capacity. I don't know him as well as I know Dr. Jerome Corsi.
Let me ask you this. Okay, I'll make it easy for you on that, because I know you don't know him very well. From what we know from the media, from what we hear, from what we've read, and all the research that you've done, I've done, Austin done, Joe's done, Alex has done, everybody else has done. You know, Dave Hodges, Sheila. You know, all of us. We've all done all this research on this. If let's say Jerome Corsi is found guilty, Roger Stone is found guilty, and Julian Assange is found guilty. Which one of those three, or would you have Trump pardon all of them or any of them?
Well, I would definitely have Dr. Jerome Corsi pardon, just simply because I know his case better and I know that he did not do anything wrong. As far as Roger Stone is concerned, I'd, you know, probably in the line of succession, it would be Dr. Corsi, Roger Stone, and Julian Assange, based on the what I know, and it could be wrong, but you know,
all three of them pardoned, Doug.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for different reasons.
Me too. All right. Okay. Good. Austin, you got any questions for Doug? Right. Or Doug, you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, you know, all of this. I think people need to step back and look at what's going on here. All of this. You've got an invasion at the southern border. You've got the timing of that. I mean, what the heck? That's not coincidental in terms of timing. Or the very same people, by the way, who have launched a coup against President Trump, and I'm saying the people who are directing Mueller and are behind Mueller, the people who are involved in the special counsel, the people who are the global elitists are behind the, in some way, shape, or overlap behind the alien invasion to our south. They're behind the various organizations attempted to cause domestic chaos. All of the dots connect here. These are the same people who are attempting to take down Donald Trump. And by the way, it's not just taking down Donald Trump. It's taking down our country, and Donald Trump is just in the way of taking you and I down. And that's what I like to say. So, just to wrap it up, I don't think you can separate what we're seeing here. We know the various events.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got a couple callers in here. You want to take some calls in here? We got a couple of them that want to talk about some different stuff with Doug, it looks like.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, let's get it rolling. I think the first one here was Larry. He was the original caller that called in. I think he wanted to ask a question real quick on arthritis. So let's see what he's doing here. Larry, you're on the air with the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing today, bud?
Hello. How are you?
Bless.
Hey, Larry. What kind of question do you have?
Well, I don't have arthritis. I have what's called temporal arteritis. Giant cell arteritis is another name for it. I just got recently diagnosed, and my wife suggested that I call you and get your opinion on some directions for curing, if possible.
Well, any of those joint issues that people have, they're really served well by using cod liver oil, turmeric, the powdered multiple vitamin B complex, vitamin C, D3, K2, and of course you need to get off all of your GMO foods and start, avoiding as many vaccines. In fact, I avoid all the vaccines to avoid any autoimmune response. Let's go ahead. We have some questions for Doug today. He's our guest. So, but if you'd call the office up, they'd be more than happy to go over all that stuff with you in detail. It's 800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, and thank you so much for calling. Austin, what's the next caller?
Jonathan, you're on the air live with us with the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, bless.
Oh, doing
well,
sir. Question?
I've got a child on the way, and we are not vaccinating, but my wife is concerned about vitamin K because there's such a big deal about...
No, you don't do that, Sean. You don't get
a lot of that. Jonathan, this is an easy one. I just had two kids in the last 2.5 years. The D3 10,000 K2, your wife needs to be on that every single day. Lana was on that. It kept her K levels very, very high in a healthy range, and it kept her D3 levels very high in a healthy range. She was getting blood work done on a regular basis, and that's one of the primary reasons why we built the D3 10,000 with K2, because it's such an important nutrient with both of them going hand in hand together. So I would highly recommend she starts on that, because remember, any supplements your wife is taking, they're going to be transferred to the baby, whether it's good or bad. So beware of that as far as with the food she's eating, stuff she's being exposed to, and the quality of nutrients she's taking. But generally with Lana, she was only about 120, 130 pounds at her peak pregnancy. She was taking two of the D3 10,000 every single day to keep her in a healthy range. So I would recommend you keep blood work checked on your wife, but as long as her vitamin K and vitamin D3 levels are healthy in the mother, they're usually almost always going to be healthy in the baby.
And I do not recommend the shot, because there's no telling what kind of adjuvants they're going to be using with the K or aluminum.
Correct.
Or mercury or sterilin. I didn't do that with any of our children. Austin, have you got a list of the callers now? Are they, do you have anything other than the health calls?
Hey, I got a question about that.
I do. I got Phil here. He's asking about the state of America. So, Phil, you're on the air live with Ted, Austin, and Doug. How are you doing today, bud?
Hey, Ted and Austin. I find the state of America very unstable. I think America can be taken over in a month or in 15 years at the most. I think everything is just an overdrive with the economic front, the immigration front, the foreign threats of war front, the gender front that's changing what it even means to be human. It's going to tie into androids and AI and the assault on health front. All these fronts, I feel like we're at a point of no return. And So with me being a young American, I feel like just about everyone is willingly ignorant of the coming judgment as a part of the falling away spoken oven 2 years through three. So what do you guys feel like about the state of America right now?
I like that silence there, guys.
That's an open-ended question right there.
this is Doug Agman here, by the way. And Ted, I got a question about vitamin B12 shots. But anyway,
okay.
To answer that question, look, you can't give up. No, this is just my view. All
right. That's right.
Yep. We're in a world of hurt. This country's in a world of hurt. We've got 42% who welcome with open arms, embrace socialism. They don't even know what the hell they're embracing, frankly.
That's right. They don't.
So the bottom line is we either have to fight, or we just pack it up, go home, go play golf, and just watch the country around us fall. So,
yep.
And that the latter part is what the deep state globalists are hoping for. And this
That's
is,
right.
Yep.
And this is why Ted and Austin do their show, and this is why I do
yep.
my show. This is why we fight. We fight for our kids because it is a doggone, in my view. It's too selfish to look at your child, look at your, well, you don't have any children, maybe, you're young. But isn't it selfish to look
yeah,
around you and say,
well,
you know what, I'm not going to do anything. It's too far gone. No, it's not. You still suck in air? You able to move? You able to feed
yeah.
yourself? All right, let's go out and let's kick some, you know what. That's what I'm, you know. So
that's my take on it as well. This is what I've told so many people is, I mean, you have to look at it from an aspect of, you know, we're almost in trench warfare right now. You're in a foxhole. You've got a ton of people trying to invade you. You're holding the line. You got to hold the line. You're the last line of defense between the rest of the entire platoon getting taken over. And you're in a foxhole with a big old belt-fed M240 machine gun with multiple boxes of ammo ready to go. And you're going, well, golly, there's a ton of people showing up. What am I going to do? Are you going to lay down and let them shoot you? Are you going to run and get shot in the back? You're still breathing. You're still alive, and you're not hemorrhaging blood. Dude, you're going to fight and try to take out everybody until, you know, the last man standing. And that's really what it comes down to figuratively. We have to keep fighting and pushing and trying to push for the truth and waking up as many people as possible right now, because you turn around and lay down and fight and get shot in the back. To me, that's the most pathetic way to go out. And so you might as well fight while you still got air in your lungs and you still got ammo in your gun, run and gun until the last second. There's no other option for me, in my opinion.
I make sure all the ammo cans are empty.
Yep.
Then pull the .45 out of the belt. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. And then if you got to run, then at least you know you ran. You know, at the end of everything, right?
Bayonet.
Or then you fix bayonets and you fight it to the end. But
yeah.
But no, and Doug, you're right. That's the dog-minded determinants we have to have in order to make this thing work. Because if we don't do it this way, if we don't fight to the last breath, what's the point? I don't know, my mom used to always say to me, and you know, of course, Goebbels had brainwashed her pretty well over there in Germany during World War II, and she used to always say, you know, we were always taught that if you give up, you lose. And, you know, it's true. You've got to fight until there's nobody left to fight. Because, guys, here's the thing. You got to remember, these guys, these pansies, these metro boys, they don't have the willpower to fight. If this thing happens and it goes sideways, we're going to be dealing with basically mercenaries coming into the United States and other military people coming into the United States. These left-wing communist pansies that basically haven't lifted a weight in their entire life, have never worked out, and basically act like a bunch of little girly boys, they're not going to pick up a weapon. And very rarely they would ever do that. But what you're going to have is you're going to have to deal with hardened troops coming into the United States from who knows where, Russia, North Korea, China, I don't know. I don't think those guys are nuts enough to try to come in here. I think it'll all be a false flag. What do you think, Doug? You think the final battle that they try to come in here, you really think another country's going to come in? Or do you think our own government, rogue elements of our government who did 9/11 are going to try to justify nuclear use or, you know, or martial law because they set up a false flag like Hitler did when he basically burned his own Reichstag? What do you think is going to happen with this?
You know what? Why reinvent the playbook? I think you're right. Well, it'd be a lot easier for a country to come in to pick up the pieces as opposed to knock down the pieces and then, you know, try to rearrange them. So look, I think that there are enough people who have infiltrated our government, the globalists, the permanent state members, the Marxist, Stalinist, Communist, Maoist, the deep state globalists. I think there are enough people that are part of this government, and part of the federal bureaucracy that we don't need, we don't need to be invaded. And I think, you know, a premature invasion, tongue in cheek, look, I look at the Bible, I suppose, as the ultimate authority as to what will happen in the end of days, and I think that we're nearing that time. So I certainly wouldn't discount a foreign invasion, especially, I mean, consider how bad we were during the Civil War. Of course, different time period, but if we get that, to that extent, that bad fighting in that fashion, although it wouldn't look like that, I'm pretty sure it would look more geographically arranged. Yeah, I mean, I suppose we'd be ripe for some sort of external force to come in.
I mean, well, that kind of ties us into our next caller. Phil, thank you for calling. We have Patrice was one to talk about the end game, what Hagman basically felt was on that. So, hey, you were on the air with the Ted and Austin Brower Show live. What's your question today?
Well, actually, I have two questions. The first one is for Dr. Ted, what he knows about infrared saunas. And the second one is the end game about the geoengineering and where that comes into play in the geopolitical arena. So.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I know about saunas. I've got a sauna at the house. It's an old sauna. It's 25 years old. It's not infrared. I've read a lot of articles on the infrared saunas. They cost more money. They say they're better, but the old saunas, the old heat up the rocks, you know, and throw some water on them or whatever, they're great units. I've got one. I've had one for 25 years. For the extra money that the other ones cost, I don't think they're worth the extra investment. Now, Doug, what do you think about the yin yang that's coming towards us?
Wow. Well, look, I don't have any inside information. I don't have a crystal ball. Again, I would turn to the Bible, with respect to the bigger picture, the world picture, but with respect to the United States, and I would include, with respect to the United States, I would be very careful with what our own government does to us. I mean, look at the state of social networking and the state of banning, shadow banning, and censorship. My goodness, look at how they've neutered us. And my question, I suppose I would answer this with a question: at what point? And I'll ask you guys this: at what point do the conservative Christians decide that it's time, that you know what, we're done, we've got the voting box hasn't worked, the soap box is gone, so when do you start rolling out the ammo box? And I'm asking that in the form of a question for those monitoring and transcribing.
Well, may I make a statement?
sure,
go ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right when you go to the Bible, because it's all spiritual. That's where it begins and ends, Alpha and Omega. And I think the reality is that it's good against evil, and we have the evil, which, you know, some people call it liberal, some people call it left, some people call them Zionist, some people call them Satanist, but they're definitely an energy force, and they're to be reckoned with. And I think, you know, you have, I'm not going to call it even Christians. It's people who believe in Jesus Christ. You know, you follow what he says and how it's going to play out. And we all have to do what we have to do to enforce his victory. And that's what it's all about. And they are coming at us, and we have to call upon our higher spiritual selves to engage in this conflict and enforce that victory. And
well,
you're absolutely
right. Okay, here's what I think. I think that we have a problem right now because this would be an asymmetrical war. I mean, we've got the technology of the military is so far advanced to the civilians, starting with that Machine Gun Act back in the 30s and with Ronald Reagan pulling the machine guns away from all civilians back in the 80s without these huge, huge fees and not letting new product being sold. We really don't have the technology capability to fight a trench warfare with the United States military. It would be very one-sided, over very quickly, especially like the congressman who wanted to use nuclear weapons against his own people the other day. That's an absolute moron. So the reality is this. We have to do everything we can from a spiritual standpoint. We have to fight the good fight. Now, if they came after us, if they said, okay, we're going to go ahead, declare martial law, we're going house to house, everybody's going to jail, everybody's going to FEMA camps, okay, now it's time to realize, you know, do you want to go to a FEMA camp to get guillotined or whatever they're going to do to you there? Is that really where you want to go? I'm not going there. So if that would be where I'd have to go for me, Doug, before I picked up arms. And I would only want to defend my family and myself and maybe my neighborhood. I wouldn't want to go in and basically start attacking government facilities. I think if we start doing all that stuff again, it's going to be an asymmetrical war. It's going to be a big mess.
And I didn't mean to suggest that. I mean, at what point, maybe I should have rephrased it that way. At what point do we start saying, well, you know,
you have to be equipped spiritually. You have to be equipped spiritually.
Right.
That's the only way we're going to win this battle.
The battle is not against flesh and blood. And we have to understand that. And we have to also understand that the biggest thing we can do if we really want to wake this country up, and I've talked about it on every show that I've done forever, is we have to get the pansies out of the pulpit. We have to put real men back in the pulpit again who don't just care about their 501(c) corporations and their big houses and their private planes. And we've got to get in there talking and telling the truth about what's going on. Because now you try to get into the pulpit, and I've done it. You get into a church, you get into the pulpit, you know, they censor you. They say, you can't talk about this, or this. I talked to a major pastor 2 days ago, big church, wants me to come in and speak in the spring. He said, I want you to talk about health issues. I said, okay, I'll respect you for that. So I'm being censored going into the pulpit. Now, it's his house, his dime, his everything. I'll do what he asked me to do because I'm being paid to be there. But the reality is we've got to get pastors who are willing to step away from what the mainstream religion and the feel-good churches are doing. And we've got to go back to preaching the Bible and preaching repentance. We've got to bring the 40s and the 50s back into this country. And I don't know how to do it with Hollywood completely controlling our youth. I don't know what to do.
Well,
that's
because
why
Jesus isn't a religion. That's
right.
Where we first are wrong. When we say that Jesus is even a religion.
Right,
man-created religion.
That's right.
That's how they win the game. They turn it all into man. I mean, look at Rome. It's disgusting when you go to the Vatican. Jesus Christ is minute. It's all about the freaking humans and the obelisk in the center.
I've been there. I agree with you. I can't even. Now it's about metal detectors and troops. I mean, you're absolutely right. But thank you for the call. Austin, do we have any more phone calls?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Yes, we also have Matt who wanted to ask one more question about Q. Matt, what's your question today, bud? You were live on the air with Ted and Austin and Doug.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. The products are great, guys.
Thank you.
I'm an avid supporter of Health Masters. And Doug knows who I am. Doug, I believe, maybe let me ask you this. I believe that Q is being used as a carrot, dangling in front of people like myself and others to, oh, wait, you know, we won't do anything because of this coming. I am pretty sure from the hardcore looking that I've done at the beginning of Q, it was actually legitimate. Then it got, within a month or two, things got twisted. And it seemed like it was taken over, and that's what the word was, is that CIA had basically taken it over and turned it into disinfo. I believe that Q is disinfo, and it's being used for that. Would anyone back that up? Because that would also lead to suppressing people from actually rising up against these clowns and going and removing them from power.
You know, if I can just jump in here.
Sure.
I have not studied Q enough from its origin, its genesis, October of 2017 to the present. So I can't answer, except I have spoken to people who have, and they've said, you know, there was something that's changed. And I tend to agree with that. So I think you could be right. It could have started out as something that was that was good in its intent, and it was overtaken. So you're exactly right. But what I know right now is what I'm seeing right now is exactly what you're saying. It's kind of like if I go to Ted and say, you know, hey, Ted, don't worry, I'll take out the garbage. And, you know, it's got to be out at the curbside by 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like 5:30. And Austin says, hey, the garbage's not out. Don't worry, I got this. Well, the garbage never gets out there, okay? It sits rotten in your garage. So that's kind of what I am concerned about with respect to this. Trust Sessions. Well, Sessions gone now. Well, how do you rectify that? And look, I know originally, and I know there are some things that were kind of interesting, not coincidences, but happenings that are difficult to explain away, with respect to the legitimacy of Q. But again, you know, has it been hijacked? Has it been changed? It's very possible. So that's my
opinion. Here's my opinion on this. I believe that Q's probably started off pretty right. I think they found out who was doing it. They found out where the leak was, and they took it over. I believe it's a CIA op now. I believe it's complete and total disinformation. I believe it's basically being used to basically prevent us from really enabling people to get involved because they're thinking, well, like Doug said, somebody else is taking out the garbage. We don't have to worry about it. I mean, all of this stuff they pronounced was going to happen last month, this month, none of it happened. And you're kind of like, come on now. Like Doug said, trust Sessions. It's, nobody trusted Sessions. And the problem with it is that it's kind of like the Iraqi dinar. You know, everybody says the Iraqi dinar is going to be making everybody billionaires, you know, next week. And it's always next week. And it's always next week. And it's always next week. And, it never happens, Doug. It never happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got friends that are still waiting for their Iraqi dinars to come in. They're still completely convinced that it's going to happen. And it's sad. It really is. But I think it may have started off with a legitimate purpose. I really do. And I think this was happening. I think a lot of stuff in the White House got co-opted because of the people that have been put into place into the power. And I think also the bureaucratic parts of the government that have not been put back or replaced by Donald Trump are still loyal to Obama, loyal to Clinton, loyal to the Bushes, loyal to the other factions. And I believe that those guys are still making it miserable for Trump. And even if he tries to do stuff right, he ends up getting somebody like Sessions, who's supposed to be a really good attorney general, who ends up letting this Mueller probe go completely berserk. I mean, it's like the Mueller probe now going after Roger Stone and going after Corsi. It has nothing to do with Russia. The problem is that nobody put a constraint on Mueller. Now,
Whitaker might have pulled that. Okay,
I hope he does. I hope Whitaker stops. I hope he shuts the whole thing down because I believe he's the guy to do it. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, well, for the remaining time he's got, and he could also be take the position permanently. But like you said, look, December 5th is when John Huber, the prosecutorial side of the OIG, is scheduled to testify in front of Congress, and I've been seeing on the Q boards that, oh my goodness, you know, we've got December 6th or December 5th forward is going to be just an incredible perp walks, and you know, all these indictments are going to be open. Well, what happens when it doesn't? I just want to caution people, look, take it easy. It could still happen, but I just don't think it's going to happen with the rapidity or, you know, how quickly people think it's going to happen. So I don't know if that makes sense.
What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been on kind of the same basis of it. I think a lot of the stuff that he came out with originally, the reason why it was so factual is because there was some inside knowledge of what was going on, and he was really on point with a lot of it. And it's the same thing we've seen with every aspect. Once something is online now, we pretty much have learned from NSA that there's nothing hidden anymore. There is no anonymous online activity. It doesn't matter how many IP servers you hack, how many scanners you do. If they want to find out who you are, where you are, what you're doing, they can figure it out. It's not difficult anymore. And so I think a lot of the stuff that he has done in the past was accurate, and it was good intention. And I'm pretty much with you now. I think they're using it as a carrot to dangle it in front of everybody now today. Oh, we've got another 50, 60, 70,000 sealed indictments we're going to release. All these people are going to go to jail. All these people are going to be arrested. There's a good possibility 6 months ago, a year ago, year and a half ago, that some of that stuff, even on a small scale, was starting to form. But when you have the strength and the money of the Pentagon and the DOD and the NSA and the CIA and all these guys on the back end that do not want to be exposed, they're going to put every single resource and manpower they have into preventing this stuff from going to the light. And when you think about the fact that we continually give the military this massive amount of budget, that they dump all this money into the black ops, when they get audited, they can't even figure out where trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars go. That right there shows you who runs the country. When you have an entity that can lose that type of money and heads don't roll and people aren't hung and people don't go to jail and nobody's indicted, why in the world are they going to indict anybody else that's dealing with money laundering or child trafficking or anything like that? I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's being used as a front to keep everybody quiet. That's just my opinion.
That's well said. Any more calls, Austin?
Yeah, we have one more on here. Thanks, Matt, for the call. Frank, you were live on the air. We got about 2 minutes left for you, Frank.
Okay, thanks. I listen to Ted and Austin pretty much every day, sometimes twice a day. It's a good, efficient source of a lot
thanks,
of information
Frank.
That I am interested in knowing about. And I just have to say my gut told me that the QAnon stuff was bogus from day one when I first found out about it. I've even heard this kind of thing before about 10 years ago. There was another thing. They called it something else. It was the White Hats. They were in the government. They were ready. They're getting ready to take over. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I knew. I mean, I'm like, here we go again. It's just to get people to do nothing and wait. Just put their feet up. Everything's going to be taken care of. There isn't any sort of some miracle. There's no way. There's no clean, politically correct way out of this. If we were even going to try and fight our way out of this, it would be very nasty. It would be very politically incorrect, and we would be demonized even more than we are now. We've got people that come out of 2% of our population that basically have infiltrated and taken over everything, including the seminaries, the Vatican. They control us through money, blackmail, everything else. And you just have to ask yourself a question. Do you or how long do you want to live under a Talmudic, Jewish, freaking organized Jewry tyranny? How long are we going to pretend?
Frank, thanks so much for your call. But here's the thing, guys, and Frank, we appreciate you listening every day. But here's
thank you, brother.
This is a lot bigger than this. We've got the Vatican involved in all of this. We've got the Talmudic Jewry involved, and I can't say that doesn't happen because they control the Federal Reserve System. But then we got all of these different mafias. We got the Italian mafia, we've got the Irish mafia, we've got the Chinese mafia, we've got the Russian mafia, and they're all working together through these money controllers. And so it's a major, major mess. I mean, you know, and George Bush and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, none of these guys are Talmudic Jews. These guys are all claiming to be Protestant Christians. You know, Barack Obama is like a Muslim. So we have to be careful because it's a satanic movement that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 6 with the Canaanites that's filtered through everything. Now, the problem is, and we've done many shows on it before, is that you've got a lot of these Talmudic Jews that are involved in all these weird things, and they're far left, you know, with their social systems. I mean, Prager, you know, he's also Jewish. He wrote a very good article on this, and he was talking about the far left Jewish organizations that were causing a lot of the problems globally. But that doesn't mean that all the Jews are doing this. So I want to make sure everybody understands that I don't believe that. And because I have friends of mine that are Jewish. It's just the problem we have is that the far left ones that did the Russian Revolution are also heavily involved in what's going on in our country and the quote unquote bringing socialism, which is again hardcore communists, into the United States. So guys, let's keep our eyes focused on what this is. This is a satanic agenda. This battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these guys, these black magicians that run the planet. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Synagogue of Satan. We're going to talk about how they're tying us together into a smart grid. We're going to talk about RNA and DNA and all the stuff tomorrow, what they're trying to do to us. And guys, this is a Luciferian doctrine that we're being pushed into. Like it or not, this is a battle against flesh and blood, and we've got to stand against it, guys. But remember, if there's a whole bunch of other people involved in this that are also, you know, pretending, you know, that they're not Luciferians. Remember, You got to go to Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove, you got the world elite going out there and worshiping Moloch. And this is the group of people that's doing all of this stuff to us. Doug, what do you think about that? And what do you think about what I'm thinking?
No, look, you're spot on. And for us to confine it to one particular faith system is not correct. The only faith system this is corralled to or is the satanic cabal. And that would include so-called self-professed Christians. Sorry about that, but it does. Jews, yes. Muslims, you know, the whole, it doesn't matter what your belief system is, except as long as it's communist and as long as it's satanic, that's what, just so you're 100% right. And by the way, I agree with everyone who's called in and said you got the best products and the best, your show needs to be longer, brother.
Well, real quick, but you're asking about injectable B12.
Yeah.
If you're going to do injectable B12, there's several things you got to remember. Don't let them give you this cyanide cobalamin, you get the methylcobalamin, and find out what they're using for a sterilant. Make sure they're not using aluminum. Make sure they're not using mercury. Find out how they're keeping the product sterilized, especially if it's in a multivial shot, because they have to use a sterilant in a multivial shot. So what you don't want to do is get a B12 shot with a dose of mercury. You don't want that. So I'd rather have you use our B12 sublingually. Chew it up, let it soak in, so you know, absorb under your tongue.
Right.
A lot better for you than that. Because guess what, guys, listen to me for a second. We don't know what's in these meds anymore. When they put these hypodermic needles in these bottles, we don't know what they're putting in you. You have no idea. I don't have any idea. You're believing that the guys are telling the truth of what's on the label. Doug, we got a couple of minutes left. Do you want to go ahead and close it up?
Can I mainline your B12? Because your B12, I'll tell you what, it's the best out there. All right, so I'll shut up now. So.
Okay, well, Doug, first of all, I'm going to say bye and let you and Austin finish it. Guys, I love you. Thanks for listening. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Doug, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. You guys got a couple of minutes. Go ahead and close it down. And I'll talk to you later, guys. I love you guys. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'm done. Bye.
Absolutely. And Doug, you know, we're on your show all the time. We love your show. How can people subscribe to you and listen to your show? And overall, how can they support you?
Well, just send unmarked bills to, no, I'm kidding. HagmanReport.com is our website. That's Hagman with two N's, HagmanReport.com. HagmanReportLive.com is where you can listen to our programs, including Ted and Austin Brower. And from there, we've got three different shows. We've got our flagship show, and then I've got a show in the morning. Joe's got a show in the afternoon that support us. We've got a Patreon and PayPal account, and also by mail. We're rolling out a campaign 2019. To infiltrate, inform, and prepare. We're intent on taking back this country with or without you. No, I'm not speaking to Austin. I'm speaking in general. Climb aboard or jump in. The water is fine. But we need your help in doing so. And by the way, I would also extend this by saying we need to be healthy in so doing. So support Health Masters. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not getting paid to say this, but I've never felt better until I started taking Health Masters nutritional supplements. Their vitamins, their supplements, to be more accurate, are absolutely the best. And you compare them to any other supplement out there. You know,
thank you, Doug.
You don't say enough.
We appreciate it, brother. Yeah, and guys, you know, I mean, I don't promote a lot of people. I know Doug and Joe personally. I've hung out with them personally. I absolutely love hanging out with them. I love being on their show. These guys are the real deal. So be sure to listen to their show, support them. This is how we continue to get bigger and spread the word. Doug, it was a blessing again to have you on the show. Thank you so much, brother. And I'm sure we'll have you on again as always, and we'll be back on your show as well. And to our listeners, thank you guys. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for the weekend you guys gave us. And if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have an absolutely blessed, safe, wonderful night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.